broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Principal Kenny is a very well-respected administrator.
I want to express our pleasure that
like
the judge...
I do the Botox myself. It's safe.
Oh, you mean the food stamps?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where my husband is.
I forgot he was black tonight.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go anywhere, through the looking glass and beyond, to bring you the very finest in top-notch spoken word, talk radio, entertainment. All right. This is Phil Hendry. It is our news and commentary hour. We again apologize to our online viewers of our video cast, as well as our great many radio listeners who may have looked forward to an online or on-demand video cast tomorrow. We don't have that because the internet has crashed on us. And it will be up and rock and roll, I'm sure, tomorrow night. Because what we did is we contacted the good people at Time Warner and we said, you guys know what to do. And they said, we're on it, Mr. Hendry. Well, in my fantasy, that's what they would do. Actually, they're still asleep. But as soon as they wake up, no, I'm sure that they're...
We called them up and the lady was really nice.
The lady was nice at Time Warner?
Yeah, it's really nice. She said, can you unplug the modem? And I've done that. And then she said, well, I can't. That's all I can help you with. And
get out of here, man.
No, she said, tomorrow we have a technician.
You know, I'd almost half believe you, though, when they tell you, you call them up and you go, yes, I'm having a problem. Yeah. Have you unplugged your modem, sir? Oh, no, I haven't done that. Go around behind it and unplug it and plug it back in. Well, we did that, and I know about that. Nonetheless, who did that?
Oh, an engineer or something.
Engineer. Anyway... We did that, and we find out that it is a more profound problem. It's in the line somewhere between here and thither. So, again, our apologies, folks, and we put a little notice up on our website as well as on Twitter, and we'll be rock and roll. All right, so last hour, when we last were talking with you, we were talking about a new book about Area 51. Now, Area 51, if you're a listener to the overnight show, you know, like George or Art's show, when they would talk about men from outer space, Area 51 is supposedly some place where the United States Air Force or the United States Naval Air Services or the Marine Air Corps or just guys that fly stuff for a living, they went out there and we either were doing one of several things. We were developing high-tech aircraft that was invisible or something or could turn into a thing, a creature. Yeah, I don't know. Or it was a place where we kept on ice the bodies of aliens to be resurrected, reanimated someday when the technology hit. I don't know.
That's what I heard about. That they got little men.
Yeah. Little men. You mean from outer space?
Yeah.
Well, get a load of this. Is truth stranger than fiction? A new book on Area 51 that's already generating a ton of buzz among all those dorks. Ton of butt. I'm not going to buy it. Are you?
No, I probably want to read it.
What are you going to read? Are you going to believe it?
I don't know.
See, that's the thing that scares me. I don't like putting information like this into the hands of idiots like you, because you guys wind up believing it.
Yeah, but it could be true.
It ain't going to be true. Wait till you hear what I'm reading here. True. There, according to this book, there was no alien spacecraft that crashed in Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. Well, no. Instead, Joseph Stalin did it. Maybe. Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin, you know, the former premier dictator of Soviet Russia who died in 1953. And eventually his successors, as you know, Khrushchev, Brezhnev, and Gorbachev. Eventually, Stalin was repudiated by the Soviet leadership, that the Stalin era was considered to be an era of tyranny, a black ages, if you will, of the Soviet people. And Joseph Stalin was repudiated by his successors. It was quite a revolutionary and shocking thing to do. Khrushchev was one of the first. And Khrushchev worked very closely with Joseph Stalin in World War II. Khrushchev, as a matter of fact, was the prime political commissar in Stalingrad. I'm getting way ahead of myself, aren't I?
Yeah, nobody knows.
All right, anyway. According to Annie Jacobson, the reporter who authored Area 51, the spaceship was actually a Soviet spy plane that came down during a storm. Jacobson claims it was filled with bizarre-looking, genetically engineered, child-sized aviators. Okay? That's right. Bizarre-looking, genetically engineered, child-sized aviators. Then, Soviet leader Joseph Stalin was hoping, Jacobson alleges, that the news would cause widespread panic in the United States. That is, that if this plane comes down in the United States with little, big-headed, alien-looking people, that we would all flip and riot and burn the cities to the ground, thinking that the little men were coming for, you know, they were an advance party from an invasion force.
Yeah, that'd pretty much be the logical thing to think. You figure you're going to send a reconnaissance of some kind.
Yeah, that's right, bud, a reconnaissance. Wow.
Well, what don't you think?
Dude, I ain't even thinking that far into the world of weird. All right?
Well, I thought they'd make sense that they're going to invade. They'd probably send a scout party.
A scout party?
What are you laughing about?
Yeah, that's it, man. The little green men.
They weren't green, man.
All right, the little flesh-toned men were a scout party from another world. They were doing reconnaissance. All right, so, and that's why we would riot?
Well, we'd riot because we'd be afraid that our technology would not be up to theirs.
That's right. So we would be afraid that our technology would be, not be up to theirs, so we'd riot. We have very little faith in ourselves, at least in terms of the popular mythology that we create about ourselves. We always have such little faith. We always think that we're going to riot. We always think we're going to panic. We always think we're going to rape and run wild. You know?
Well, don't you think?
No, I don't. No, as a matter of fact, no, I don't. No. And it isn't because I think the human race is so marvelous. I just think that we are not that. I don't think we're quite built that way. I think that what happens is we adapt. You know, one of the things that we forget about human beings, and it's one of the truer things that we've discovered about ourselves, is that we are very adaptable creatures. Not just in terms of climate, for instance, or foodstuffs. We know that we can live in extreme cold. We can live in extreme hot. Blah blah blah. You know, we learn very quickly. We can see and we can touch and we can learn very very quickly. That's why we, as I've so often said, if you look at the Native Americans, they saw horses. They became proficient at horseback riding and firearms within a relatively few years of being introduced to them. Human beings are very adaptable. And one of the things that I think that we're adaptable to are not only the hots and the colds of temperature, but the highs and the lows of life. You know, we enjoy the good times and we get through the bad times. And we always seem to think, especially in this country where we have the freedom to say whatever we want, we always seem to think that if things get a little too tough, we're just going to flip out, man. You know, and I don't see that. So anyway, Jacobson claims it was filled with bizarre-looking, genetically engineered, child-sized aviators. Then Soviet leader Joseph Stalin was hoping, Jacobson alleges, that the news would cause widespread panic in the United States. What a leap of faith, man. When was this book written, anyway?
Yeah, it's a news book. It's a new book.
God, I think she shows very little understanding of people and history just with that line there. The story gets stranger. The leader of the USSR had apparently been inspired by the 1938 radio adaptation of the H.G. Wells story War of the Worlds, produced by Orson Welles. The broadcast triggered panic in some listeners who tuned in and mistook it for a real-life alien invasion. Though later students of the episode claimed that the media of Wells' day vastly exaggerated the scale of public alarm over the broadcast, which I've heard that too. They said that a lot of people freaked out about the War of the Worlds broadcast, and it was relatively few people that actually freaked out. There was a disclaimer broadcast throughout the show saying that this is a theatrical rendition, but it wasn't done often enough, they surmised. And so since those times, you've had to pretty frequently tell people that something is, if it's going to affect public safety, you have to frequently tell them that you're doing a theatrical or a dramatic presentation. All right. And those E.T.-looking aviators? Well, they were scientific experiments created by, you got it, the angel of death, Nazi Dr. Josef Mengele, for the USSR after the war. So, What do we have here? We have Area 51. There was a spy plane. It came down by design because Joseph Stalin wanted to freak out the American people with the genetically engineered little tiny alien-looking people inside. And we'd see that and flip. And so the plane had to come down for us in order to see these things and flip. And these little men were made by the angel of death, Joseph Mengele. Now, Joseph Mengele was a Nazi doctor at Auschwitz who was a war criminal, wanted for war crimes. He escaped. He made it to South America and lived into the 70s, where he, it is said, and I believe they've verified, he drowned. They did reclaim his remains and were able to determine that it was Joseph Mengele. He escaped the long arm of international justice. But he probably didn't live a very comfortable life. He was consistently moving. He knew he was constantly being chased. Simon Wiesenthal, among others, and so forth. The American authorities. Joseph Mengele at Auschwitz did experiments on human beings. It was one of the most sadistic aspects of the Nazi reign of tyranny in Germany, or in Europe, that the concentration camp doctors like Mengele and others in the SS did experiments on human beings, living human beings. They would experiment, for instance, on eye color. Mengele was fascinated by twins. He was fascinated to see if he could change people's eye color. They wanted to find out how much cold a human being could withstand. So they would force German or Russian prisoners of war to stand in freezing water for hours at a time. Didn't matter whether it was going to kill them. That wasn't their concern at all. They would put human beings into pressurized tanks to see how much pressure they could take, putting them through extreme pain. They didn't give a damn. They would remove muscle tissue. You can well imagine a sadistic son of a bitch like this with the good blessings of the Nazi hierarchy doing horrific things to people. And that's what Joseph Mengele did. So this doctor, this author is saying he escaped to Russia and went to work for the Russians producing mutants. Well, nothing in this man's work ever speaks to him having actually developed, you know, genetically engineered humans. So while Joseph Mengele was not caught, and I'm sure there was all kinds of mythology about that and stuff that popped up about him because he was, like, elusive, I don't think he was that great. The flight was piloted remotely, according to Ms. Jacobson. So you've got these little pint-sized aviators that were created by Joseph Mengele. Joseph Stalin has sent them out over the United States. They're in a spy plane. It comes down on purpose so we'd all look at the little pint-sized aviators and go, ah, scream and riot and burn our cities to the ground because we're panicking. The flight is being piloted remotely, according to accounts of the book, and was filled with a crew of alien-like children. According to Jacobson's source, a retired engineer who was put on the project in 1978, yeah.
Well, what are you talking about?
I bet you he's a guy that babbles to people in coffee shops. A retired engineer, huh?
Well, you don't know. The lady talking to him, man, you gotta look and see what kind of sources she got.
You guys would believe anything, you know that? Anything.
No, he wouldn't. But if she's got a source.
Yeah, she's got a source, all right. She's got a sore is what she's got. Anyway, a retired engineer who was put on the project in 1978, the look of the human experiments on these alien-like children could explain the alien conspiracy theories. They were grotesquely deformed, but each in the same manner as the others. They had unusually large heads and abnormally shaped, oversized eyes. Naturally, of course. Why? Well, that's what aliens look like. Is any of this true? There's no way to prove it. Documents surrounding the Roswell incident are still classified, as is virtually all information related to the blah. Still, lack of proof hasn't exactly stopped the book from sparking speculation on the media circuit and the web. In the last day alone, Yahoo searches skyrocketed 3,000% for Area 51 book, and the tome is penned not by a crackpot conspirator, but a respected journalist. Well, we'll see about that. Even the New York Times gives her credence, writing in its review. Here's the New York Times reviewing the book. Although this connect-the-dots UFO thesis is only a hasty-sounding addendum to an otherwise straightforward investigative book about aviation and military history, it makes an indelible impression. Area 51 is liable to become best known for sci-fi provocation. I want to talk about this this idea that this connect the dots UFO thesis is only a hasty sounding addendum to an otherwise straightforward investigative book about aviation and military history. So I don't think this book is about Area 51, the alien spot. I think it's about Area 51, the experimental aircraft spot. And, oh, yeah, there's been crap in there about... World-famous Phil Hendry Show will be back with a little bit more about that, a little bit more about this. A bomb at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport turns out to be a drill. And by drill, I mean a hand drill that you use to drill screws into wood, right? No one informed the cops. Everybody just flips. We'll find out more about that here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com. Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We apologize again to those of you who are logging on tonight to philhendryshow.com to look at our video cast. We have had an internet outage at our video studio, and as such, we were not able to deliver that this evening, and we have had these minor outages the last couple of weeks. However, we are getting that straightened out, and so it will not bedevil you any longer. We apologize, and we appreciate your continued patronage here at Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And, of course, all of our radio stations across our great network, we appreciate you guys hanging in. It's just been kind of a goofy period of technical surprises. Just to kind of to close out on the UFO book, you know.
Yeah, first of all, that lady, you said that lady is talking about the whole book is a piece of crap, and it's not.
Well, isn't that interesting? You just found that out, man, because that's what I was saying.
Yeah, but see, her book about Area 51, that is a lot of things.
I know that, man. I know that. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I should have read ahead. But see, the book that Ann Jacobson has written called Area 51, folks, please understand, it's about 600 pages, according to Rantz, and about 100 pages of it is devoted to this ridiculous notion that Joseph Stalin created alien-looking kids and stuck them in a spaceship, okay? Ann Jacobson's book is about this place called Area 51 that, to the layperson, is a top-secret airbase where some kind of experimental aviation or experimental aircraft are tested. We know that much, and that's all we know. The things that happen at Area 51 are classified, and because they are classified, all the brain surgeons and the UFO people say, oh, see, you know.
Yeah, they think it's kind of classified. You can't know about it.
Exactly. They go, oh, well, it's not really. If the government would tell us if they only knew. Well, they're not going to tell you because that's classified information, the stuff that happens there. What she did was she took some of the weirder things that have been said about Area 51. She might have gotten a hold of some information, some rumors, some reports, and put them into her book. I think we're smart enough these days to know the difference between what is just goofy rumor and what is possible fact. I saw a thing on TV just a few days ago, and I don't know what show it was, but there was the headline, and they were going to really suck us through the commercial when they said, was the FBI chasing Hitler after World War II? Huh? You know, big thing. Well, then they got around to the fact, and this is anything anybody can look up. You can look it up right now. Go to the FBI website. Look up under Freedom of Information all the stuff they have on Hitler, and it's pretty funny. Because they were getting letters for months and years after the end of the war of people spotting Hitler. And, of course, if you're the FBI, especially in those years following the war, you got to follow up. Now, you may follow up with just a phone call. You may follow up to a call with a call to the Bureau. One of the letters said that they spotted Hitler at a bowling alley on Hollywood Boulevard. I swear to God.
Did he bowl?
What do you mean, did he bowl? What has that got to do with it?
Well, what would he be doing there?
He ain't going to be out here bowling, man. He's gone. He's in the wind, baby. He's a war criminal.
Yeah, he's not going to come to Hollywood and bowl anyway. Might have gone to bowling out of closer.
Yeah, he'd go to a bowling alley in Germany, right?
Bowling alley in Germany? That cat was wanted by the... Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Oh, but maybe South America.
Yeah, that's it. Hitler got on a sub, went to South America, and went bowling there. Did he bowl?
Well, I heard he had a bowling alley in the bee garden.
Beef garden? You mean the Berchtes garden?
Yeah.
What's so funny?
What's so funny? This guy's cracking me up, man. Six ways to sunset. That's what's funny. I'll be back with a Minneapolis St. Paul drill. Not a drill as in 1, 2, 3, 4, a drill that they thought was a bomb. Phil Hendry Show. Did he bowl?
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, we go places other talk shows wouldn't dare go. And why is that? Because they just wouldn't dare go there, you know.
Might get dirty.
They might get their hair mussed.
Yeah, you ain't got no hair to muss.
I ain't got no hair to muss. You do. Anyway, there was a bomb. Oh, no, not a bomb. Here's the headline. Anyway, bomb at Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport was only a drill. That's a stupid headline. And if it's not a bomb, then why call it a bomb?
They should have a threat of bomb.
Yeah. Bomb at Minneapolis St. Paul. They should have put that in quotes. Quote, bomb, end quote. At Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport was only a drill. No one informed the police. Well, now. With their guns drawn, police surrounded a man who reportedly was trying to get through security at Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport with a bomb and a carry-on bag, reportedly. It was a drill, but the trouble was no one had told the cops, who thought it was real. I think a lot of people were alarmed. Patrick Hogan, a spokesman for the Metropolitan Airport Commission, said of last week's incident, there is always a danger that someone could have gotten hurt. It was unfortunate. This happened last week?
Yeah, it must have been a slow news day at the Star Tribune.
You guys at the Star Tribune, man, you're really on it, aren't you, there in Minneapolis, huh? Last week, it had happened in your own airport. And you reported it yesterday? Anyway, the routine drill conducted by the Transportation Security... You mean this is a drill? I thought it was an actual drill. Anyway... I think a lot... How many times did I say I thought this was a drill?
I don't know, about 6 times.
You think maybe you guys could have told me? The trouble was no one had told the cops who thought it was real. I think a lot of people... You know what? I'm no longer interested in doing the story now. Just not interested at all, man. I'm telling people that this was a hand drill.
Well, I forgot.
You forgot. Let's move on to something else here. AAA survey. Fewer car...
Well,
yeah. AAA survey, fewer car trips planned for Memorial Day week. God, that's boring, too. Let me tell you something, man. Since that internet went down and we don't have our regular show, we haven't got any news here to talk about either. United Airlines, look at this. This is dumb. Here is the story that we were going to, and we should have talked about much, much sooner. And that is that the Center for Disease Control... The Center for Disease Control has tips on popular new blog about a zombie invasion, and it crashed the website. A Center for Disease Control blog post mentioning a zombie apocalypse as a lighthearted way to get Americans to read about preparing for the hurricane season drove so much traffic that it crashed the website. The Zombie Apocalypse Campaign is a social media effort by the CDC's Public Health and Preparedness Center to spread the word about preparing for the June 1st start of hurricane season. It's been a top trending topic on Twitter and Google all day, which is why we're getting to it here late in the hour. There are all kinds of emergencies out there that we can prepare for, the blog post starts. Take a zombie apocalypse, for example. You may laugh now, but when it happens, you'll be happy you read this. So naturally, people are interested, and they go and they take a look at the Zombie Apocalypse Handbook. Do people really think there's going to be zombies? No. The timing of the blog was just days before the prediction of the May 21st Judgment Day by an evangelical broadcaster. There's no way in hell that that many people think the world is going to end to crash a website. I don't believe it. I think people crashed the website because they were interested to read probably most of them are kids, and they want to figure out how you kill a zombie.
Yeah, you don't know.
I refuse to believe that adults are worried about A, the end of the world, and B, the fact that zombies may be coming out of the ground. I will not believe it. No way.
You don't know, though.
Yes, I do know. It's impossible. As dumb as people can be. If you prepare for the zombie apocalypse, you'll be prepared for all hazards, CDC spokesman Dave Daigle told Reuters over the phone on Thursday. The word zombie comes from voodoo practice, blah, 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 blah. George Romero, blah, 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 blah. So what is this all about? It was supposed to be to promote hurricane preparedness, right? So where is that in the story?
Oh, they didn't talk about it, but...
All right, let's take a break and get our act together here. The Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
For Patriots, hi, Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. All right, so we got it all ready?
Yeah.
We don't need to have internet connection for that. Welcome back here. A couple of things to mention. As we said, we have had technical difficulties on our website tonight. We apologize for that. Also, we are online at facebook.com/Phil Henry and twitter.com/Real Phil Henry. That is our online presence. Now, here's a story that I hope doesn't rise up and bite me in the ass. 84-year-old man allegedly beaten by police officer after calling 911. Who knows? Maybe he deserved it. I'm kidding.
Well, man, 84?
I don't know, but it says here an Alabama police officer allegedly hospitalized an elderly man who called 911 to report an accident across the street from his house while his wife watched the entire beating from a wheelchair. Now, doesn't that sound a little pat?
I don't know. I mean, could have happened.
Boy, it's got everything in there but the weeping widow and the funeral procession and everything. I mean, you talk about a story that was just reported from the gate to be biased against the cop. By the way, whatever happened to that cop that allegedly beat up the old guy in Orlando? You remember that story?
Yeah, that was the guy in a bar or something. They picked the guy up and slammed him. He was a veteran.
Right, he was a veteran. Whatever happened to that story? Whatever happened to that cop? Whatever happened to the arrest of the cop or the investigation of the cop? The Courthouse News Service reported that 84-year-old Dorsey Henderson of Fairhope, Alabama, called 911 after investigating the car accident and discovering that the driver of the vehicle was severely intoxicated. Henderson told the driver of the car he was under citizen's arrest and needed to wait near his car until police arrived. When Officer Trent Scott arrived on the scene, Henderson attempted to inform him of the driver's belligerent behavior and that the driver had been placed under citizen's arrest. The officer allegedly told Henderson there was no such thing as a citizen's arrest in Alabama. Is that really what the cop said?
That's what it says.
That's what this crap can news service says. The officer allegedly told Henderson there's no such thing as a citizen's arrest in Alabama. First of all, do you think there's no such thing as a citizen's arrest in Alabama? And secondly, do you think a cop is going to say there's no such thing as a citizen's arrest in Alabama? Or is it maybe a misquote from Mr. Henderson? And he was also quoted as saying, "Get out of the way, old man." Now, of course, we don't know what the cop said because the cop's not allowed to talk. After Henderson tried to explain that he was only trying to help, Officer Scott placed him in an arm bar and slammed his face first into the ground, breaking his nose and eyeglass. This is the most positively biased story that you could imagine. It's making the claim that the officer did things, and they're taking this guy's word on what happened. that the guy tries to explain something, and after the man said, get out of the way, old man, he grabs him, he arm bars him, and he slams his face into the ground, breaking his nose and his eyeglasses. The wife, Doris, allegedly watched from a wheelchair, allegedly, at the front window of her house, allegedly, telling a 911 dispatcher that the officer was allegedly beating the hell out of my alleged husband. At no point, says the Raw story in Courthouse News Service, at no point did Scott place Henderson under arrest or charge him with any crime, but kept Henderson handcuffed in the backseat of the police cruiser, the complaint alleges. Roughly 10 minutes later, Scott sent an ambulance that arrived away that had arrived away, telling the paramedics that the elderly man doesn't need an ambulance. What does that mean? An ambulance that had arrived away. Anyway, a superior officer later arrived on the scene, ordered the ambulance to return, and Henderson was taken to the hospital. Here's a great example of what I was talking about when we say the media revolution and the competition for news consumers and the competition for people to pay attention to their news service as opposed to somebody else's news service. And I heard somebody say the other day that news is no longer news. It's a product. News is no longer a service, which is, we're now going to tell you what the news is. It is a product. It is a competing, products competing with each other. Here is our news as opposed to their news. Our news is more exciting. Our news is more violent. Our news is more colorful. Their news isn't. Our news is more celebrity driven. But nowhere in the advertisement or in the pushing of the product is truth mentioned. Not really. This story here, the Raw story, is the name of the internet news service. I don't know who they are. I don't know who runs them. I don't know whether any of these guys got out of grade school. And something called the Courthouse News Service. And they make this claim, and they use the words alleged, that an elderly man was beaten up, essentially, by an Alabama cop, and that this Alabama cop allegedly said these things. Well, you can throw the words alleged in front of everything you want, but the fact is, they want you to believe that this cop is guilty of police brutality.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Did you hear what I said? They're talking about the cop smashed this guy's face into the ground, slammed his face, breaking his nose and his eyeglasses, put him in an arm bar. His wife allegedly watched from a wheelchair. Every now and again, man, they got that allegedly in there because they don't want to be accused of lying. Well, they're not really lying so much as they have decided they understand what happened, and they're going to tell you. This cop beat up an 84-year-old man. Why? Why did they tell it that way?
Because it's a better headline.
It's a better headline. Exactly.
Well, I mean, What are you talking about?
Bud, if I have a cop who legitimately interceded in this situation and didn't beat the old man up, but just put him, in the radio car to calm him down, or had to somehow restrain the old man because the old man was acting up, what kind of a headline is that going to make? Alabama police officer has to put old man in backseat of car.
Yeah, well, you could say old man attacks cop.
What if the old man didn't attack the cop? What if the old man was just resisting? Old man resists arrest. You know, old man resists arrest. Cop has to put him in the backseat of the car. You think that sounds sexy? Or what sounds better? 84-year-old man beaten by police, allegedly, after calling 911. Now, that is something people are going to want to read. And so, therefore, the Raw story decides they will twist the information so that that's why you read it. So the goal is not giving people the truth. The goal is just simply to get them to read it.
Yeah, but they can't get away with telling a lie and stuff, can they?
Why not?
Yeah, I guess they could.
Why not? Why can't they get away with it? They can simply say that, no, this is our reporter says that this is what happened. I mean, we talked to the woman. We talked to the guy. Did you talk to the cop? Well, no, but the police officer would not. No comment. Yeah, that's the other way to get around it. Well, we talked to the old lady and we talked to the guy. We couldn't talk to the cop because he had no comment. He wasn't allowed to talk. Well, the reason why they're not allowed to talk is because the police officers are compelled by law to investigate thoroughly before they make any comment. An average citizen doesn't have to do any investigation. An average citizen can run off at the mouth with the verbal diarrhea as much as they want. And that's exactly what reporters like.
Well, okay, so the old lady talked, the old man talked. How do you know they're lying?
I'm not saying they're lying so much as all I'm getting is their side. That's the thing that bugs me. And because the only thing I get is their side, that's the only side that the Raw story wants to give me. As a matter of fact, that's basically the story as far as they're concerned. They're done with their investigation. You think they're going to follow up and talk to this cop? Any more than anybody followed up with that Orlando cop and found out what happened after they investigated him slamming that poor old veteran? I heard that whole story, man. We did 2 days on that story. Oh, yeah, the poor old this guy was an old drunk. He came out of the bar. He got something happened between him and the cop. He winds up getting slammed to the ground. The headline is, veteran is beat up by cop. But I didn't hear any follow-up, man. I don't know what happened. I don't know what when the cop was finally heard from, what happened. I know the police department backed him up. I'll bet you that story, as it turned out, was no big thing. The cop was in the right, and what kind of sexy news does that is that going to give you? So they decided to drop the whole thing.
Well, they should have followed up.
They're not going to follow up if it isn't interesting. What happened with that cop and that veteran? Well, as it turns out, the cop was in the right. Oh, shoot. Well, we reported that it was a whole... Yeah, I know. Yeah, okay, well, let's... Next. They don't even have to follow it up, man. So, that's the thing. Let me see if I missed anything here. May 16th, 2011, Scott... Listen to this. As of May 16th, 2011, Scott was still employed by the Fairhope Police Department, and neither he nor the department has commented on the complaint. So, here's something else they're saying. They're saying, how dare they? Why, this guy still has a job? And, as I mentioned to you, neither he nor the department have commented. Because why? Because cops are not going to comment until they do their own investigation. Cops got to be cops. Average citizens can be dumb. Meanwhile, this guy Henderson and his wife seek damages for constitutional violations. They're represented by some lawyer out of Daphne, Alabama. So I guess they're suing.
Well, boom, the cop has a statement at our police department. Then we ought to... Follow up.
Yeah, sure. We'll follow up. You think we're going to follow up, man? We ain't following up with nothing. Nobody else is going to follow up. Do I look like I got the AP News Bureau here? Unless these guys follow up, I ain't going to know nothing. And I got money that says they don't. I got money that says this cop was in the right, that the old man was out of line, and they're trying to get a payday. And when they find out that they ain't going to get their payday, even though he's 84 years old, and the cop is not going to be charged, and he was within the parameters of the use of force, and it just isn't sexy or exciting. I got money that says this is the last we ever hear of this story. The last.
How come you always stick it up a cop, even when it's an old man?
I just don't believe in bullcrap, okay, Robert? I don't believe in bullcrap.
I don't believe in it either. You always stick it up for cop.
You want to know why I'm always sticking up for cops? Because my experience has taught me something. My experience has taught me the following, that most of the time, cops are in the right.
What? What are you talking about, man? You know the cops have been guilty of brutality and everything.
I know the cops have been guilty of brutality for a long time, for many, many years, in the bad old days, and up until recently, probably. I mean, a lot of things have changed. Cops are better trained. There's different kinds of cops now. A lot of things have changed since the old days. And I'm telling you, my experience is, when I read these news stories, 9 times out of 10, the cops were in the right. Some jackass that was trying to get somebody's sympathy is in the wrong. Some turd that's trying to make trouble for cops. That's why you say that I'm always sticking up for cops. No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
You stick up for cops most of the time.
Well, maybe I do most of the time. And I'm telling you right now, there's a reason for that. Because most of the time, when I read this horse dung... What I'm looking at is some cop getting screwed, somebody trying to make him into a bad guy, someone trying to make him into Heinrich Himmler. During that whole thing up in Oakland, man, was I pro-cop then?
Well,
yeah. So, you know, good luck there, Officer Scott, man. You got an old man and his old lady in a wheelchair, and oh boy, you know. Yeah, I mean, like I said, good luck. But a lot of times these guys do better if the department backs them up. And he ain't been fired, so...
Does that mean you think he's innocent?
I don't know, but he ain't been fired. Just because the Raw story says, wow, the guy still has a job, usually they put them on suspension. Usually they stick them on a desk. Usually. Well, usually, if that's the case, that's the case. But usually, that happens when, you know, they're in violation of... if they've done something serious. But Raw story, and now I know why they call you Raw story, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah.
You guys didn't get the Raw story. You may take it raw, man, but not the story. Take it easy. All right, well, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, we are produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is John Ilk, and our associate producer, who didn't have anything to do tonight, was Dan Northcraft. We apologize again for this a series of bad technical faux pas, but we'll get it together here. Visit us online at philhenryshow.com for our live streaming video. We'll have things up and ready to go again tomorrow night. And, of course, we have our archived video that's available for you, as well as our archived audio, our podcasts, all of that stuff is available to you. But this evening, from our video studio and our radio studio, we lost all of our internet connection. And there seems to be, the last time we checked with our good people at Time Warner, there is definitely a weak signal, as they say, man. You know, one of the funny things, I wasn't really that far gone when I said, you know, that supply lines have been stretched to the limit.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're right at the very end, man.
We are at the technical end of the supply line. So that's that. We'll see you guys again tonight. Again, thank you so much for sticking with us and staying with the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we will have further reports on our website coming up in just a few minutes at www.philhenryshow.com. And we'll fill you in on just went down tonight with that internet connection. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. See you later.
Phil Henry.